الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا We thank Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for giving us this tawfiq, this opportunity to remember Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. Everything that is related to Aba Abdullah al-Husayn, it lives, it endures, it never ends. And again, if you look into the riwayat that we have, they say that everything which has the flavoring of Hussein, it is bought at a lavish price in the hereafter. Says that everything as a result of Qiyamah will perish, will be destroyed, but everything related to Aba Abdullah al-Hussein will endure. Even this land of Karbala, every spot of it, because it is related to Hussein, it will be taken to the heavens as and like a piece of decoration and a souvenir. The paradise will be decorated with every spot of Karbala. Why? Because of Hussein. In Irfan and in this field of spirituality, they say that whatsoever, wheresoever you want to get to, the door is Hussein. Safinatul Hussein Asra wa Awsa. Says this ship, this ark of Hussein, it's vast. And it takes everyone on board and it will take you to your destination fast. And there is no other means that could take us to our destination but through Hussein. Marhum Shaykh Rajab Ali Khayyat, one of these great urafa of the Shia world, he says that once in one of these communications he has with Rasulullah, he says that, what shall I do so that I get access to the Imam of Time, to Imam Al-Asr? Instructions given to him are that, cry for Hussein twice a day. Once in the morning, once in the afternoon, once in the evening. He says that I cried for him for one whole year, once in the morning, once at night. And after that 1 year, when I was saying my prayers, and when I said, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, it was as if I am saying this salam in the presence of Rasulullah. And his age at that time, 24 years. And then when he says that I said this salam to Rasulullah, he responded to my salam, and the first thing he says that, why are you late? That is, why did you come to me so late at this age of 24? Why not earlier? So he gets access to this unseen again through this door and this doorstep of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. And this teaching we find from Ziyaratul Nahiyatil Muqaddasa, there Imam al-Asr says that وَلَأَنْدُبَنَّكَ سَبَاحًا وَمَسَاءً, that I cry for you twice a day, once in the morning, once at night, every day. With reference to this land, this noble place of Karbala, the Holy Prophet says that وَهِيَ أَطْحَرُ بِقَاءِ الْأَرْضِ وَأَعْظَمُهَا حُرْمَةً وَإِنَّهَا لَمِنْ بَطْحَاءِ الْجَنَّةِ, that this land of Karbala, it's among the purest lands on the earth. the highest in sanctity and is among the setups of the paradise, which is this Karbala. There is a hadith in this book called Kamil al-Ziyarat, says that when once this land of Mecca, wherein Kaaba is situated, starts boasting that I am that spot on this earth wherein that best house of Allah has been created, and that is Kaaba, and I have been given that honor for this house of God be situated over here, says that as this land of Mecca was boasting in pride, hears a sound, a voice from Karbala, "Hush, quiet, what do you say? Someone is buried over here. Your honor, your dignity is because of this Karbala. Is Kaaba today? It's because of Karbala." This is something which we find even in Ziyaratul Nahiyatil Muqaddasa. The same thing, Kaaba remained today because of Hussein. Islam remained today because of Hussein. Merits, values remain today because of Hussein. Elsewhere, our fifth Imam, he quotes, now again if you look into the history of Fuqaha, Ulama, until Marhum Majlisi, fatwa of many of the Ulama was such that Ziyarat of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein was wajib once in a lifetime like Hajj. So there was a fatwa of that time, of that nature. The reason for that is the riwayat that we have, they are so strong and so many regarding the importance of Ziyarat of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, which made them come up with those verdicts and fatwas. Here Imam says that لو يعلم الناس ما في زيارة قبر الحسين من الفضل لماتوا شوقا. That if people knew what great honor, and if people knew what is hidden in the ziyarat of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, they would have died of shauq. They would have died of that enthusiasm. They wanted to get to that ziyarat of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. Says that on the Day of Judgment, this land of Karbala, it will glow with noor, everything else will perish, but this land will endure. With reference to this land where Aba Abdullah al-Hussein is buried, not every land can accept him. Now when you want to plant something, that right atmosphere has to be there. All the elements should be there so that it can accept. Now this example is not right. Now for Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, for that huge big sacrifice to be accepted and for him to be laid to rest in Karbala, not every land will be accepted. Riwayat, they say that land was irrigated with the blood of 200 prophets, 200 successors, 200 grandsons of the prophets. They were, all of their blood was flown over there till that land was prepared to accept the sacrifice and the body of Hussein. So that is that greatness which is mentioned in riwayat, and amazing rewards are reported. Says that Zuru Karbala wala taqta'uhu fa inna khayra awlad al anbiya thaminathu. Continue visiting Karbala as it has in it, that is in that land of Karbala, the best of the offsprings of the Prophet, which is Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. Says our sixth Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu was salam. Inna Allah attakhadha Karbala haraman aminan mubarakan قبل أن يتخذ مكة حرما. Says Allah تبارك وتعالى, He chose Karbala as His sacred haram before He chose Mecca as His haram. Again, that is that greatness which Ma'sumin mentioned over here. Says من سره أن يكون على موائد النور يوم القيامة فَلْيَكُنْ مِنْ زُوَّارِ الْحُسَيْنِ, says, if you want to be seated on the tables of, on the sufras, on the tables of Noor on the Day of Judgment, be a zawar and a visitor of the sacred shrine of Hussein. And it's, and over here in this amazing hadith, our sixth imam, he says that مَنْ لَمْ يَأْتِي قَبْرَ الْحُسَيْنِ وَهُوَ يَزْعَمْ أَنَّهُ لَنَا شِيعًا حَتَّى يَمُوتْ فَلَيْسَ هُوَ لَنَا شِيعًا, says one who does not come to pay a visit to the shrine of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, and he says he is a Shia of ours, imam says he is not a Shia of ours, حَتَّى يَمُوتْ, and he dies and he does not come to Karbala, فَلَيْسَ هُوَ لَنَا شِيعًا. وَإِنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ فَهُوَ مِنْ ضَيْفَانِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, says that if this person was granted the heavens, he will be a guest in the paradise, not a host. Why? Because he did not go to pay a visit to Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. And again says that if Allah desires the good of an individual, he will plant the love of Hussein and the ziyarat in the heart of this individual. And if he wants the evil, if Allah desires the evil of an individual, he will plant the hatred of Hussein in the heart of this individual. We are thankful to Allah that he has given us this blessing, and that is this love of Aba Abdullah and Hussein in our hearts. And again, in another amazing hadith, these tears that roll down in love of Hussein and Ahlul Bayt, and in the azar, grief and sorrow of Aba Abdullah, imam says that Rahimakallah Dama'atak, may Allah have mercy on that tear which falls down. And over here Imam Saliq, he says that Imam Hussein has a continuous and a merciful sight on someone who cries for Aba Abdullah, someone who cries for him. And then says that someone who holds the azar of Hussein, imam, he seeks forgiveness for him. That is, imam asks Allah to forgive us. Says furthermore, it's not just that, he asks his parents, that is Amirul Mu'mineen and Hazrat Zahra, to ask Allah to forgive us. Not that, says my, asks his grandfather, his brothers, his sisters, all of them, so that they seek forgiveness for us. Why? For this bond, for this relationship, for these tears that are shed for Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. Again, it's amazing, Nizam-i-Rashti, one of the great Iranian poets. And most of these nohas that you find that are recited in Iran are reported and recited from this marhum Nizam-i-Rashti. He, in one of these communications from Barzakh to this alam, when he is seen, this person asks him, what benefited you in the hereafter? He says, Hussein. That is one. And the second thing which benefited me a lot was taqwa. And then says that, how are you? Where? In that barzakh. In reply, in a poem, he says, Shukr khuda ra ki dar panahe Hussein. That is, I thank Allah that I am in the shelter of Hussein. Alim azim behtar panah nadarad. That this universe, this alam, there is no better shade than the shade of Hussein. Now this is, in this dunya is the same thing is in barzakh. Masumeen, they have said that whatever has been told to you about the benefits that a person will get because of this relationship and bond with Masumeen and with Ahlul Bayt, whatever you've been said, you just see a fraction of that over here in this world. The reality of that will be seen once a person departs from this dunya and he comes to the hereafter. That is, on the other side, all of it will be seen. So what is all this that has been told to us? Who are we that so lofty Ma'sumeen have talked about us? What a great honor has been given to someone who sits and cries and makes others cries, or resembles those who cry for Aba Abdullah. So all and all and all is for Hussein and by Hussein. As that hadith says, that Safinatul Hussein awsa wa asra, this ship and ark of Hussein is vast, it will take you to your destination fast. days are days of azah, days of repentance, so that we are restored to our original factory settings, default settings, and that is by tawbah. Again, tawbah, easiest and the fastest access is through Hussein. One tear shed for him, for his love, with the flavoring of Hussein, Allah accepts it, buys it at a lavish price. Now, all the wrong that we have done throughout our life, all of that can be forgiven in these few nights. And we ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to forgive us all that wrong that we have done, to be waived, to be forgiven. A person tensed. Now, we talked about being ill-mannered, how bad that is, and the consequences that a person gets due to being ill-mannered. So what do we do? One of the things is that we have to be polite. That is, that tongue of ours, that little piece of flesh that has been given to us, which causes such a lot of nuisance, has to be controlled. Says a person tense, supplicates to Allah, hoping and wanting his pledge to be accepted, as he was desperate. Wahy is revealed to Prophet Musa that no matter how much this person pledges, no matter how much this person supplicates, none of his hajat, none of his wishes will be granted, none of his du'as will be accepted. Allah says that I won't listen to this person because of two things. He has two evils. The first one is that he swears at me. He has a bad tongue. And then the second thing is that he has a contaminated heart. And then he says to Musa, that is, Allah says to Musa that if he corrects himself, that is, if he fixes his tongue, he doesn't swear at me or others, that contaminated heart of his is corrected. Says, if he does that and says Ya Allah or Ya Rab just once, I will accept his dua. So a bad tongue, swearing at others, swearing at family, swearing at what and what not, it is hated. Although it has become a lifestyle, the more a person swears, the more sophisticated he is today. That is not the case. If we want to be sophisticated, that is only when that distance between us and Allah is reduced, only then will a person be sophisticated, not otherwise. If you look into Quran, amazing word of Allah, Allah never lies. Says, one who corrects his tongue, I will correct his entire existence. No matter how much wrong he may have in him, Allah says, you fix your tongue, I'll fix you, all of you. Says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu attaqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. That, O you who believe, observe taqwa, that is, be God-wary. Wa qulu qawlan sadida, yani be good, be elegant, be diligent, speak good, have a good tongue. So if you do that, and if your tongue was good, you did not swear at anyone, Allah says, Yuslih lakum a'malakum. That all of your actions, I will correct. Allah will correct. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Not only that, all of your sins will be forgiven because you corrected your tongue. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. And someone who is obedient to Allah and His Prophet says he will arrive at a rank, and that is great. You clean your tongue, I'll fix everything, he says. Quran says, don't yell, be polite, be soft. Why? Says, Inna ankar al aswat la sautul hamir. That the worst of those voices and noises is the braying of a donkey. So be polite, don't talk loud. A loud voice is an adab, is a chastisement. No one likes, everyone hates to talk so loud. Amir al-Mu'mineen says that Rasulullah in those 23 years, that is 13 years in Mecca and again 10 years in Medina, not once did he raise his voice, not once did he yell. He was so polite. Now all these things that are being said from the prophets, from Ma'asumeen, all this is being addressed to us. First of all, it's a lesson to myself. He says that he was so polite that no one ever saw him yell. Rasulullah, when he is established in Medina, he sends Muballighin, propagators. One of them is Ma'az bin Jabal, that Rasulullah wants to send him to Yemen as a Muballigh. Now this Ma'az bin Jabal, he knew Quran, he was one of the persons who was knowledgeable there. And then there Rasulullah, he has a list of 30 points, that is 30 advices to Ma'az bin Jabal. Now among them is this, he comes and says to this person, Rasulullah escorts him all the way till about outside Medina. And during that walking distance, he says that, Ma'az, you are going there, lean al-kalam wa husn al-kalam, be polite. Don't yell at the people, don't walk on their nerves, be good to them, speak to them politely. So all these are the advices, the points which Rasulullah mentions. Or for example, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to Prophet Musa and Harun says that, Musa, I want you to go to Fir'aun. Who is Fir'aun? Someone who claims to be the God, someone who has stood against God. So Musa and Harun are going to an opposition, to an enemy. Instructions given by Allah to Prophet Musa and Harun is that, اذهبا إلى فرعون إنه طغى, that you two will go to Fir'aun. Who is that Fir'aun? Tagha. He is that Taghut who has stood against Allah. Now that you go there, فَقُولَا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا, that when you go to him, don't yell at him, don't swear at him, don't say that you ruthless figure, don't say that you what and what not. قُولَا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا, speak to him politely, softly, and give that message of Allah to him. So being polite is something which is desired, a teaching taught by Allah, that is a teaching which the prophets taught, applied onto themselves. Again, an old lady, she comes to Rasulullah and says that, Ya Rasulullah, will God take an old hunched lady to the paradise? Rasulullah says, no. She says, why not? You said to pray, I said the prayers. You said to fast, I observed. You said Hajj, I performed it. You said dues and funds, I paid them. Then why not? Then Rasulullah says that, well, God, he will make you young, beautiful, attractive, a 20-year-old girl, and then he will take you to the paradise. Then she says that, may Allah have mercy on you, that was good. Oh, I see. So that is how Rasulullah, in soft words, in polite words, speaks to people, that the love of Rasulullah is embedded in their hearts. Ma'asum says that, Nazifu afwahakum, clean your mouths. That is not with these things that we have, mouthwashes and all that. Clean your mouths, protect them from all these contamination, all this pollution. What is the pollution? These sins, the swear words. Quran says that, وَالْجَنَّةُ لَا يَدْخُلُهَا إِلَّا الطَّيِّبُ, that if we want to enter the paradise, only that what is good enters the paradise. A polluted tongue is contamination, it's pollution, and that will never enter the paradise. But word of Allah says that tayyib only enters. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ, Allah loves those who seek repentance and those who are pure. This is one, that we have to be polite. Another issue that we ought to know, there is in our books of akhlaq two concepts. One is fear, one is hope, which is mentioned as khawf and raja. And we have to know what they mean and we have to apply it onto ourselves. In one of these wasaya and advices that our sixth Imam has to Abdullah bin Jundab, says, Yabna Jundab, Yahlikul Muttakil ala amalihi wala yanjul mutajarri. Says that, O son of Jundab, one who relies on his own deeds, he will be ruined. That is the amal that we do, the actions that we have. If we rely onto ourselves, Imam says, this person will be destroyed, will be ruined. Continues and says that one who sins relying on God, again he will find no salvation. Now this is something we can see in the communities, that all this, these sins and contaminations, pollutions that exist, that people, they easily commit sins and then say that God will forgive us. How will he forgive? Openly standing against the sayings of God, against the rulings of God, and then we say that God will forgive. It doesn't fall within that criteria of wisdom and justice that he will forgive. Over here it's the same thing. Masoom says that he will not find salvation. That knowingly someone who sins will not find salvation. And then he said that, I said, who will prosper? Imam in reply says that those who are between fear and hope, that is khawf and raja, as if their hearts elevate, wanting the thawab and fearful of the wrath. That is, between that khawf and raja they move. And continues, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ عَبْدٍ مُؤْمِنٍ إِلَّا وَفِي قَلْبِهِ نُورًا. That Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has placed these two lights, these two noor, in every heart. One of them is nooru khifatin wa nooru raja. There is a light of fear. There is another light, which is that light of hope. Walau wazna hadha lam yazid ala hadha walau. And if these two are measured, that is that fear and that hope, if these two are measured, says they are exactly of the same weight. Neither that hope is more than fear, nor the fear is more than hope. So what exactly this fear and hope mean, inshallah, I'll shed some more light on it. Says that رَبَّ وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا. It's the word of Allah. Versify Quran. Mu'mineen, they are those that due to the fear of the hell, they ask Allah to take away that punishment, that wrath, that chastisement away from them. رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ. Why? إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا. Because that azab, that punishment, it is a painful punishment. I can't bear it. So due to the fear of Allah, when we say that fear of Allah, Allah himself, his existence has nothing to be scared. It's that justice of Allah which a person fears. It's that azab, that punishment which he has promised, that is something which is scary. Otherwise the existence of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is nothing to be scared of. Fear, that is khawf, hope, which is raja, in Allah, it's a means of progress. That if we have that fear and khawf in us, we find that it's easier to elevate and to ascend. Khawf means to quit sins. Says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. That someone who fears Allah, for the sake of that fear, he puts all that sin aside. If there is wrong in me, due to that fear of the justice of Allah, due to the fear of the punishments which we will see in the hereafter, I put the sins aside. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. as a result of which that paradise will be given to an individual. So that khawf, that is fear, raja, which is hope, must exist in us, that we have to have hope in Allah, in His mercy. One of the sins which will never be forgiven, or which is among the greatest sins, is وَلَا تَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ, that a person, he becomes dread, he has no hope in Allah. Not having hope in Allah, it's among those sins that will not be forgiven. So if a person does commit a sin, God forbid, and then repents, he will be forgiven. If he commits a sin and then has no hope in God, Allah says that is a greater sin which he has committed, and that is losing hope in God. We are not allowed to lose hope in God. No matter how much a person may have had committed sins during his lifetime, the hope in Allah is larger and greater than the sins that have been committed, and He forgives, He waives, He elevates a person. No matter, example is Hur, someone who was deep down in the hellfire, repents because of that hope he has in Allah, comes to the doorstep of Waliyullah, is forgiven and is remembered today as among the best. Someone who was deep down in the hell is elevated to the highest levels of the paradise. So there has to be a balance between hope and fear. Among the prophets, we have Prophet Yahya, Isa, Zakariya. All of these, them are remembered as and reminded as the Bakka'een, those who cried a lot. Among them is Yahya. He cries so much due to the fear of the wrath and the punishments, due to the justice of Allah so much, that his father, was Prophet Zakariya, was always careful that whenever he wanted to talk about the day of judgment, the punishments, etc., he was cautious that Yahya wasn't present in that gathering. Because if he started crying, he would never stop. And the reports, they say that he cried so much that the skin had burnt as a result of that continuous shedding of tears. That is due to that khawf which he possesses. Again, Masoom says that for every tear that is shed due to fear of Allah, says a mountain in weight of reward will be registered in his performance report. Now this is something that we have to apply onto ourselves, that once in a while we sit and look into the performance report of ours, that what are we doing. The teaching that is taught to us by our ulama is that when we get up in the morning, we have an arrangement with ourselves that throughout the day, this is the target I have to observe, that I have to move within that framework that Allah has said, that is the do's and the don'ts. I will not exceed. And throughout the day, I monitor myself, that I be cautious, that I do not exceed the limits. And at the end of the day, I take an account of myself, and that is to see whether I was truthful to myself or not. I was loyal to that allegiance which I set early in the morning to move within the framework or not. So this is the teaching. And again over here says that for every tear that is shed due to the fear of Allah, a mountain in weight of thawab will be registered in the performance report of an individual. Al-buka min khashiyatillah miftahu rahmatillah. Amir al-Mu'mineen says that crying due to the fear of Allah is the key towards the mercy of Allah. Elsewhere the Holy Prophet is seen saying that a'la an-nas manzilatan 'inda Allah akhwafuhum min, that the best of the people in rank before Allah are those who have this fright and fear in them. Elsewhere he's seen saying that ayyuhan nas إن أقربكم اليوم من الله أشدكم منه خوفا. The nearest and the closest today before Allah is someone who fears him the most. So on and so forth that have been reported from Ma'sumeen. And again, Imam Mustafa alayhi salam, in his last moments, he cries a lot. People around him, they say that, Ibn Rasulullah, why are you scared? Why do you cry so much? You, regarding who the Holy Prophet has spoken so loud, and you've performed 20 Hajj throughout your lifetime. 3 times during your life you've given away all your wealth, whatever you possessed in the way of Allah, then there's nothing to worry. Why do you cry? In reply, Imam says that, إِنَّمَا أَبْكِي لِخِسْلَتَيْنِ. First of all, it's لِهَوْلِ الْمَتْلَعِ وَفِرَاقِ الْأَحِبَّةِ. Says that, I fear that day of judgment. Due to the fear of that day of judgment, I cry. And the second reason is that I am departing and separating from you, the loved ones. As a result of this, that makes me cry. So how beautiful it would be that if we divert these tears that are shed due to the fear of Allah and connect them to Aba Abdullah. In today's language, tears that are shed due to the fear of Allah give them a flavoring of Hussein. And that flavoring of Hussein given to anything is bought at a lavish price. If that tear shed due to the fear is connected to Aba Abdullah, possesses a flavoring of Hussein, that is again bought at a lavish price in the hereafter. Among the ambassadors of the Islamic revolution of Karbala is Muslim ibn Aqil, this noble servant of Aba Abdullah, the best person to be the ambassador of the Imam, in whom Imam could confide. Now confronting Muslim ibn Aqil, Yazid, he deputes and sends Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad to counterbalance Muslim ibn Aqil. Now these two forces, which is Awliyaullah and Awliyaul Shaitan, they work with an equal and opposite reaction. That is, if there is an effort from Shaitan of a 1 kilogram, the same thing is from Rahman. Now when Imam sends the best and the most noble from his side as Muslim ibn Aqil, he sends the most corrupt and the most ruthless from his side as Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, the ruler of Basra, is appointed as the ruler of Kufa as well, was appointed with numerous powers to arrest, to punish, to imprison and to kill Muslim ibn Aqil. Now, Muslim ibn Aqil, he comes from a family. 9 members of Muslim's household were sacrificed in the service of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein on the day of Ashura. That was the most of the shuhada that were given from one family. In Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, Aba Abdullah, he offers a 2-rakat prayer between that maqam and the rukn, and there he calls Muslim ibn Aqil. In reply to the requests that were received from Kufa, which riwayat say that 18,000, some say 40,000 requests were sent from Kufa inviting Aba Abdullah al-Hussein to come to Kufa. In the house of Mukhtar, when Muslim comes with the message and communication of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, people, they came to see him, Muslim. They see the note, the message of the Imam. Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad is appointed as the governor of Kufa. He's sent to Kufa. Now Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, he misleads, cheats the people, and all of the lovers and all those who were fond of Ahlul Bayt, and in particular Amirul Mu'mineen, were imprisoned, and many of them remained in the prisons for the duration of their life. Now at seeing these conspiracies by Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, out of those thousands of people, 18 or 40,000 people who invited Muslim, by the time it's Maghrib, only 30 people remain with Muslim. Just 30 out of those thousands. And after his Maghrib prayers, when Muslim heads off to the city of Hinda, which is another city in Kufa, turns and sees only 10 people are with him. When he comes to his destination again, there is none. Muslim is all alone. Someone who was invited with those thousands of invitations sent and deputed by Abu Abdullah al-Hussein with his message is all alone now. Muslim, he comes and is in the streets of Kufa, comes to the house of this lady called Tawha, and she gives him some water. Water was given to him, and she comes and says, may Allah have mercy on you. It doesn't look nice that you are sitting by my house, a stranger, and people are going to talk against me. Come on, get up, go away. Muslim takes no notice. For the second time, she says the same. For the third time, she says the same. Muslim then stands up, says, where shall I go? I am Muslim ibn Aqil, alone in this Kufa. People of Kufa, they lied to me. They invited me, but none of them is here. This lady, a mu'mina, when she finds out it's Muslim ibn Aqil, says that, come in. She serves him, offers food to him. Muslim ibn Aqil, he occupies that night in worship, and after midnight, when he has a little nap, in that dream he sees Amirul Mu'mineen. Amirul Mu'mineen says that, Muslim, very soon you will be joining us. In the morning, when the informers came to that house of Tawha and they found out that Muslim is hiding over here, they have an ambush. Muslim feared that these guys, they're going to burn the house of this lady down. To protect her house, he rushes out. He comes out of that house. There is a fierce fight between Muslim and those soldiers. And then he is heavily wounded. He is captured, taken to the rooftop of the governor house. Water is offered to Muslim. He is wounded. He wants to drink that water, but blood flows from his mouth into that bowl. Another bowl is offered to him. Again, the same thing. Blood flows into that water. A third bowl is offered, the same thing. And he couldn't drink that water and says that, Alhamdulillah. لَوْ كَانَ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ الْمَقْسُونَ لِشَرْبَتِهِ, that I think that my rizq and sustenance in this world is done. And if this was my rizq, I would have drank it. But it seems that that is not my rizq anymore. Muslim is beheaded. Body is thrown down that governor house. Body is dragged all over the place in Kufa. Message of the shahadat of Muslim is given to Abu Abdullah. Imam cries, not only that message, but the shahadat of Muslim ibn Aqil, Abdullah bin Ja'far, and then Hani bin Urwa, all three of them, the message is given to Imam. Imam says, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. La yawmaka ya Aba Abdullah. We talked about all of the supporters of Aba Abdullah. If you look into their, and there was some type of an assistance, some type of a service. But when it comes to Abu Abdullah, the scenario is different. That says, بِنَفْسِي الْحُسَيْنِ الْمُتَوَفَّى, that by Hussein who died. And then says, Al-Muhtadhar, died as someone who dies an ordinary death. Al-Maqtul, someone who was killed. Al-Mazbu', someone who was beheaded. Al-Masmum, someone who was poisoned. Al-Makroob, someone who dies a death with all these pains and afflictions. Normally a person dies with one of these, one type of a death. But Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, he is that shaheed who dies with a variety and different types of deaths. He sees all these different pains of being poisoned, being killed, being beheaded, being dying of thirst. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen wa sayalamu al-lazina zalamu ayya munqalabin yanqalibun. Allahumma aghfir lana wa liwalidayna wa liman wajaba lahu haqqun alayna wa liman wassana bid-du'a wa li jami'i ummati Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Ilahi bihaqq al-zahra وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها يا الله 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 يا الله. اللهم عجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان ماتم حسين.
Yeah.